Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully Hanley.
You guys are ignorant and you're also naive.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score. Chicago's sports station.
When you look at your Sox prospects tree, the two that look pretty good without many hiccups, if at all, are the two Cub prospects. Eloy's injury is the only thing stopping him.
Eloy's injuries and a lot of concern about Dylan Cease. There's still a lot of concern about him.
But here's the thing. A year ago, he wasn't on your radar in terms of Kopech. He's made a leap in a year where you're paying attention like, hey, when is that guy going to be up here?
Right.
He looks like he's the goods. He looked like a throw-in.
But I think that it's unfair to strictly call that a Q deal, because part of getting a controllable arm at a good price was allowing them to go out and replace Arrieta, which they didn't do very well. So if Yu Darvish were pitching well and Q were
doing
what he's doing, couldn't you say that ended up being a good deal because it gave you the 2-for-1? I don't see how you can conclude that the White Sox won that deal when neither guy has made it yet.
Okay. Do you need to see Tatis at the major league level before you determine that deal?
Mully and Hanley.
Fruit and
I'm Ragnar. Pay me.
That's how I roll, buddy.
Start your day with the teams you know.
And the 0-2. Bodie drives one in the air. Deep left center. It's got a chance. Gone. Two-run homer. Ball game tied 6-6. David Bodie delivers.
Oh, we can be heroes. Just for one day.
Mully Hanley.
This is all tricky.
Here we go.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 to The Score. Pretty good win by the Cubs. Pretty good move by the Cubs. Pretty good news coming out of the Cubs. Well, Chris Bryant goes on the 10-day DL, which may be longer than that. We'll have to wait and see, but pretty good all the way around there, my friend.
Yeah, Justin Verlander's coming. The 2018 version.
Yes, that's it.
That's the hope and dream, right?
It sounds good to me. He's got the Chatwood stats. Bad at home, great on the road.
If you hadn't pulled out the Tyler Chatwood was Clayton Kershaw, once you get him out of the altitude card, then I could buy the Cole Hamels, get him out of Arlington, Texas.
But the
he's Justin Verlander card.
The difference between them is that Tyler Chatwood has always been Tyler Chatwood.
Right.
Before he became Tyler Chatwood here.
Yeah.
This is Cole Hamels. He was once Cole Hamels.
Yes.
I don't know what version of Cole Hamels you get, but you get a guy that has been there and done it, and his record is great at Wrigley, including a no-hitter. So just repeat that. Thanks.
No doubt about it. He is 6 career starts at Wrigley, 3-1, 1.76 ERA. And
that'll do. That'll play.
Yeah. Better than
they can score 2 at home.
Better than his 1-3, 11-12 ERA in the last 4 starts.
Well,
I'm going to assume most of those were at Arlington. I don't like Arlington. I didn't like it when I was covering the White Sox. I don't know why anyone would want to go to the Metroplex, as they call the beautiful Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Who was telling me they were there one time covering a game, and that's when George Bush was involved with ownership, and he was like walking around shaking everyone's hand in the press box, introducing himself. He was running for president.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? Well, he was about to run for president or whatever. He wasn't quite president yet. But
well, that was like
was
when,
the way.
When Bud Selig was the owner of the Brewers.
Yeah.
He used to come into the press box with, boxes full of brats and hot dogs from the concession stand with the stadium secret sauce and just give them to the visiting writers. Have you tried these? They're wonderful. I mean, Bud Selig was serving me lunch or dinner before he became commissioner. And I'm like, boy, that guy's very nice. Who is that? He owns the team.
Did he wrap him up in like a car dealership ad or something?
Yeah. By the way, you need new wheels?
What was in it for him?
Yeah, right.
Come on.
Yeah. Hey, I can help you. I put you in a car today, too, when you're done with that bra. What will it take?
You could drive right back to Chicago.
I can't believe my manager's doing this. But hey, he's lost his head. He's willing to throw in a stereo.
Oh, boy.
damnedest thing.
Yeah.
Stereo works this far.
You're lucky to come in. You get the free brat, the stadium secret sauce, and how about this? A sedan.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm not even sure what to make of guys leaving places. And when you go from last to first, doesn't that, if you're an old vet like this guy,
mm-hmm.
and, Verlander is the guy you're looking at, right? Doesn't that have to kind of have the old racehorse in you feel like, here we go. So quit nagging me.
I tell you, just getting out of Texas, did you see what the Rangers did against the A's? Now think about this. They had leads. They had a lead 2 days ago. They were up 10 to 2. They were up 8 runs in the eighth inning, and they became the first team in 1,685 games to cough up that lead and lose the game. I mean, just getting out of that. Whatever's going on, every day this week, they've had a lead and they've given it back. So he's probably like, he didn't even stick around till after the game. The reporters went over his cubicle and he was long gone. He was heading right to DFW and trying to get the first flight to Chicago, apparently.
I read one of the Dallas, it was the morning news. One of the stories was about how the Cubs have the dream pitching staff of Texas. It was supposed to be you.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be Cole Hamels. And by the way, Hendricks, another guy.
Oh, that's right.
So three-fifths of your starting rotation.
That's right.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah, Ryan Dempster said, no, Texas. I don't want to go to Atlanta, try again. And then they went and figured out a deal with the Rangers.
That's right.
The professor came. And
the rest is history. But isn't that funny? There are teams out there looking longingly at the pitching staff when everyone in town is like, well, Cole Hamels, please just walk on water so we can solve this thing.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It should be very interesting. The White Sox, conversely, how about this? This is very difficult. This is downright Ranger-like. They slugged 6 homers and lost. That's a neat little feat to pull off, right? How often does a team get 6 homers and fail to win? It just seems like, I don't know, it just seems like that's enough.
Yeah.
Shouldn't 6 home runs be enough?
It's well, crazy.
Dylan Covey.
Because after the Cubs game, I flipped over that and I got to see the back to back home runs, and all of a sudden you're are they really going to do this? And then the next half inning, no, they're not going to.
Yeah. Are they really not going to do this? Daniel Polka and Jose Abreu each hit 2 home runs for the White Sox, and that's their season high. They matched it. Avi Garcia and Nicky Delmonico also going deep. But Dylan Covey, now 4-6, lost for the fourth time in his last 5 starts, and he gave up 6 runs, 9 hits, 4 2/3 innings. And the big news for the White Sox is they pulled off a trade.
Yeah.
So that.
Thanks
that
for
is,
sending Soria to the Brewers. Thanks a lot. As a Cubs fan, I really appreciate. Of all the teams you could have helped out, but thanks.
Well, they got they did get a former number one pick, a left-hander from Hawaii. We'll be talking to Olin Krutz later in the program.
Mahalo.
We can ask him if he knows him.
Yeah, that's great.
Don't all those Hawaiian guys know each other?
Oh, yeah. It's a small island or a few islands. It's a bigger island now that the volcano added to it.
Well, that's right. And I believe both Olin and this kid are from the big island, but I'm guessing they don't know each other. But you never know. You can't hurt to ask, Brian.
No.
It can't hurt to ask. We have
spam sandwiches for everybody.
We have the Bears back on the practice field. They went through the first of 3 straight days of fully padded practices, and this time they were thumping each other a little bit.
How did Roquan Smith look? Is he good?
Unavailable. Oh. Unavailable for comment. Mm-hmm. Unavailable for play. Still holding out. It's getting a little silly. And I read somewhere, was it Mike Florio wrote something?
It's a cloud over my head.
Yeah, it's a cloud over all our heads. He said something to the effect that it's a little more complicated than just the offset language. It is connected to the new suspension rules with hitting in the NFL. There are now 2 new rules involved in helmet-to-helmet clashes, and basically, the kid is seeking protection should he be suspended for a helmet-to-helmet hit. And if he gets a couple of those and then it doesn't work out with the Bears, that would take away from the amount of money that he would make through suspension and fine and all the rest of it. So it's a little bit more complicated, but at least it explains a little bit.
So how does that get rectified Saturday, Sunday, Monday? I mean,
I think they just have to rectify it. I think the team just has to protect them.
That's what I'm saying.
In that circumstance.
At some point, the team has to make a decision. That, yeah. You know what? We know that the here and now, he needs to be here, and we'll kind of worry about the if come later on, if that unfortunately comes into actuality.
The Blackhawks fan convention gets underway later today. Corey Crawford, international man of mystery, will be there. That is good. Presumably speaking and presumably updating and maybe, dare I say, timetable?
Yeah.
Is that too much to ask for?
I mean, yeah. Corey, are you going to be there, on the ice, ready to go, practice? Here's hoping.
I stayed at the airport hotel at Heathrow, one of the many, at Heathrow Airport, and went downstairs and had a bite to eat with the kids. And we're looking out the window, and there is a dude that is just taking photos of planes taking off and landing.
Yeah.
And you know how they do train spotting? Apparently, plane spotting, a big thing. And this guy was just there putting together a timetable of when planes actually leave and when they come in and all this stuff. They do train spotting is a real thing they do, where people go to the railway station and they watch the trains
right.
And check the timetables and make sure they're leaving at the right time. So we've got – now we'll have crow table. We'll have crow watching.
No? Crow spotting.
Crow spotting. It sounds
– So what do
like
they do with
thing.
The wow. like the thousandth picture of they snap the Airbus 321 for the
I think
950th
all,
time? What do they do
I
with
I believe
that?
It's all about finding out if they're UFOs. No, I think it has something to do. They want to keep a timetable of who's taking off and who's landing.
What's that blue ice falling down? Whoa.
It's truly strange, right? Yeah. Why would you be train spotting? Why would you be out there trying to figure out if the train left on time?
Too much time on your hands?
Apparently, a lot of time. It's.
I'll let you know next week.
Mother of God. Mully and Hanley, we got the 5 and 5 next. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment of the show brought to you by Shell. Get triple action protection for optimal engine performance with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
Was yesterday's victory over Arizona the Cubs' best win of the year?
Well, at the danger, at the risk, let's say, of recency bias, I'm going to say yes. That was a spectacular win. And think about what went on earlier in the day. Chris Bryant is out. And, you put him on the DL, and everybody kind of has a hard gulp. And then you're sitting there, and you're watching this team fall behind.
Watching Tyler Chatwood.
And you're watching Tyler Chatwood, and you don't know if there's any help coming. And every 5 minutes seems like they're announcing some pitcher winding up somewhere. And all of a sudden, boom goes the dynamite. And, David Bodie is stepping up and getting the job done. Made a great defensive play, by the way, earlier in that game.
Unbelievable.
And gets the 2-run homer to tie the game, which was spectacular. And then Anthony Rizzo, boom goes the dynamite yet again. And back to back, it's over. And the fact that you came back and you split that series after losing a couple of games, the fact that you're heading into St. Louis and that you got some stuff swirling around. Think about if they don't win that game, how they're feeling going into St. Louis and where you are at this point in the season. So I'm going to say, again, with apologies because there is recency bias, I'm going to say that was the best win of the year going away. It was a spectacular comeback. And I can't think of a better way to get your big weekend going.
Yeah, it's if David Bodie had just made that play yesterday and not had the game tying home run,
would have been enough for you.
Would have been enough. I mean, because you know he's got the bat, but he made a Baez, Addison Russell slash diving on the grass back to the infield, turn around, throw from his pants, there's and get him by two strides after, of course, Tyler Chatwood had got himself in trouble. God bless Jim Hickey, you know, but the celebration when we talked to him earlier in the week was that the misses were getting closer. They weren't as nearly as bad. Well, yesterday, bad. High and tight, almost hit a guy. Here's one 3 feet in front of the plate. I mean, Wilson Contreras go out there, throw an arm around him, and I mean, he's probably thinking, okay, I want to take this arm and, you know, slap you up the side of the head. But I'm on the phone with my brother Terry, who's even a crazier Cub fan than I am. When Bodie hits that, I'm going, he just tied this bleeping game up. And, you know, before I get those words out of my mouth, or just about as soon as I did, here comes Rizzo with a no doubt about it. I mean, that was, it, for whatever reason, it just had that playoff type, you know, unbelievable ending feel to it where the whole place is rocking. And you're right. There's Len and JD talking about, well, J-Hap just went to the Yankees, you know, to no one's surprise. The much-rumored deal, that got done. It was just one of those days where the bad news started before the game with the Bryant stuff, as you said, then the bad news continues because that's Tyler Chatwood. And I mean, he's in his own head, shaking his head, walking around, talking to himself, and I don't know what you do with him. But that is by far the most exciting game I think I've seen this year, and given the fact of where we are in the season and all the stuff that's going on off the field and all the question marks they have and answers they're trying to define for their questions, that was a big win for them. And, you know, God bless Anthony Rizzo for and David Bodie for coming through at the end.
They won another Chatwood start. Can't lose with this bum. God.
Can't win with them? Oh, yes, you can.
But yeah, it felt bad in the morning with the Bryant news, and we don't know what's going on there. I mean, they were so close from a four-game sweep here by Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very close to that happening.
That's a good team.
Yes, absolutely.
They pitched well the whole series, and they got some bats. I mean, that's a good team, and that was a great split.
You didn't even face Greinke. Yeah, a heck of a team.
But you faced Steve Carlton in the first game.
Yeah, and 800-year-old, what was his name? Former Red Sox pitcher I can't think of right now. The other
Jose
day.
Altuve.
Yeah, that little guy.
Yeah.
I will say it was not the best win of the year. The best win of the year was on April 14th when the Cubs were down 10-2, and they ended up scoring 9 runs in the bottom of the 8th. That rainy day, Jose Quintana pulled in the 3rd inning after giving up 7 runs. Baez in the 8th with a bases-clearing double just to hit up the middle. That was the best win for me, at least the most fun. So I'll go back to April.
Weather not so hot that day. That's what I remember.
Were you there?
About that. Ray was there. We were just talking about it in here. But he left early because he's not a real one, apparently.
And did you leave early yesterday, Ray? You did. That's 2 in a row. How about that?
That's just what.
Quit giving this guy tickets already.
Yeah, that's the way you would have been on Gallagher Way, just getting some sun.
Kidding me?
Let me know when you're going, Ray.
Yeah, so exactly.
I can bet on the Cubs in game when they're losing.
Yeah, get them the hell out of there about the 8th inning, and you're laughing.
You know, Molly, I kind of was thinking the same thing you were on this one. It might be a little bit of recency bias because it was yesterday, because it was Anthony Rizzo's first walk-off in 4 years, I think, which is pretty crazy to think about. David Bodie coming up and replacing Chris Bryant, ostensibly, for the time being.
It was his first home run in like 2 months, wasn't it?
It was just an unbelievable set of occurrences there against, like you guys said, really good Diamondbacks team, a team you might see in the playoffs one more time. This could have potentially been a preview of a playoff series. So, really good win. You know, there aren't that many regular season wins that really stick out to me over the past couple years because, one, I'm not a Cubs fan. I don't remember every single regular season win they have, and they do have a lot of them. The playoff wins are much more important, but this kind of reminded me of the Baez walk-off last season on, what was it, Father's Day? I think when they had the light blue hats on, and that was a Sunday afternoon,
I believe.
Well,
that one fan had the light blue bucket on his head. Did you see that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, wow. Huh?
Did you?
I just.
Did you?
So a lot of things about that.
Yeah, I know. So the kid is sitting underneath the big old scoreboard, and either one of the 6 to 8 inch pins that hold the numbers in place either fell off or inadvertently was dropped out of the scoreboard, and even with the plastic bucket on his head, old bucket head, he ends up going to the hospital and getting 5 staples to close the cut.
Good God.
But I mean, I guess you could have died from something like that, but
yeah.
No one asked why he was wearing a bucket on his head. He was, what, 19? I guess the answer probably lies in how long he'd been at the ballpark and if he has a fake ID.
I was telling Brian, Joe, Dustin, you'll appreciate this, Kevin, not so much. When I was down in New Orleans for the Super Bowl the year the Packers won, there was a story about a guy who got so drunk coming out of like Pat Horan's that he did a header, only he was wearing a cheese block, so he was spared any serious injury.
I appreciate that.
Protective headgear.
Why would you think that I wouldn't appreciate a drunken man falling on a block of cheese? That sounds like it's right up my alley.
I didn't think you liked the Packers.
I like New Orleans a lot.
I know, but I didn't think you liked those cheese. I'm sorry.
It happened in Chicago with the deep dish.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, but they had those giant the knockoff, the wedge of pizza. Yeah, the styrofoam wedge of pizza. Yeah.
That stuck.
Wedges and pizzas and cheeses and oh my.
Come on, look alive. Let's go. We're doing a radio show here, Dustin.
Well, I mean, I thought we were, one after the other and all that jazz.
and all that jazz.
Listen, Joe points out the game that was the most unthinkable of the games to come back with. That April game, I remember exactly where I was. I was with a bunch of people shaking their heads in disgust, like, what is going on? This team is already cooked, and it's April. And
you were throwing the W flag into the bushes.
You left it on the TV, and you were excited. But yesterday, that was unbelievable. I, like Ray, also left early. I had to get back to parenting. It was an unbelievable game, so I did get to catch it live in front of my television set after leaving after the fifth inning. So a little red line action, a little Eisenhower action, and then back home to
a little garage action,
the hearse.
You were at the game yesterday?
I was at the game, too.
Little garage action. $50.
I believe he and Ray went together.
Yes, Ray and I went together.
Wow.
I believe that because I dropped them off right near there.
I bought Ray a Bud Light.
No bonding with Z? Is that?
No, he gave us the Heisman.
Hmm? Things to do, you know?
Wow.
Take a nap.
Well, that's a good question, Brian.
Shampoo my beautiful hair.
Thank you for noticing.
He would have brought the Kleenex, talked metrics all day.
Are the Cubs done making moves before the MLB deal deadline on Tuesday, and should they be?
I'm not going to rule it out, but it feels like this is the move, and it feels like the next move now, likely Montgomery going to the bullpen, and that's your second move, that's your second trade. You wanted to bolster the bullpen, well, you do that by hopefully getting the ghost of Cole Hamels, who's Mr. Playoff and Mr. All-Star, at 34 years of age, and Mike Montgomery goes back and, as a good teammate, does what he does out of the bullpen. And I don't know what you do with Tyler Chatwood. I mean, I don't know if you DL.
Keep rolling him out there. You keep winning.
Okay.
Keep winning. That's what you do.
Don't stop now, boys.
Big W.
But, yeah, it seems like this is the move that takes care of maybe two moves. But knowing Theo and Jed, and they've got a few days left here, they might tinker yet again. So here's hoping.
Yeah, I think that this is the move. I don't see them adding on to it. I mean, if they could, that'd be great. But I think they've made the move.
Well,
the
good
starter.
News is the Rangers ate a lot of the money. The $14 right. million left, so they didn't give up. Gave up a couple low A prospects. Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, they gave up something. So, yeah. But the good news is that they have a guy here now who, again, you hope that. You get something out of him. Whatever you get out of him is going to be better than what you'll be getting from one guy anyway, right? So I think that they do win the Chatwood starts. And as you say, listen, it's not fair maybe to Mike Montgomery that because of his versatility, he has to go back to the bullpen. But guess what? Because of his versatility, he has to go back to the bullpen because he's done it. He's done it successfully. Joe has trusted him in the past. So by making that move, you get the two pieces. Now, do you need another one? Maybe that's you, Darvish. I can't believe I just said that because I'm not sure he's going to throw any kind of significant pitch the rest of the year. But, who knows? Maybe if you get to a point where you're just trying to eat innings or something like that, you can make a waiver move later on. There's still going to be some people out there. James Shields. There's going to be somebody out there that maybe you could get just by paying the money. James Shields.
No, the Cubs are not done making moves. Big moves?
James Shield.
Yeah, no. What did he? No. I don't want that.
Where's Coop when you need him? Are you not listening? No. You know, no.
I think they're going to make another bullpen move, and they need to. Everybody else in this race is adding to the pen, whether you're talking about the Yanks, the A's, the Indians.
Brewers.
Yeah. They love White Sox relievers, don't they?
Just examine that a little bit, okay?
So I think they're going to add a lefty. Even if Montgomery does go out to the pen, you're going to need in the playoffs more than one guy that you can depend throwing from the left side of the bullpen. And who knows how Montgomery will be going at the end of the season. He wasn't that great last year at the very end, tail end of the year. So they're gonna find another value move like they did with the last one with Chavez. So I say they do make another move, and they should not be done. They do need to add from the left side.
No, they're not done. They're never done. Theo Epstein is constantly working to improve the team. You know, from the left-handed side, Rosario has been pretty good since he came up, mostly toward the beginning of his tenure, but he looks to be pretty reliable. Brian Dunsing, maybe not so much anymore.
Yeah, not recency bias, not so good.
Could maybe be headed for DFA City at some point in the near future. But, you know, I agree with you again, Mully, not to be a broken record here, but Montgomery, while he has acquitted himself really well when he has been able to start games, does hold more value out of the bullpen. One, he does throw left-handed. He can eat up innings for you, which is going to be important because he's stretched out. He can go 3-4 if you need him to do that. Chatwood offers you nothing coming out of
right.
the bullpen. He offers you very little starting games.
Pinch running.
For God's sake. Yeah, he's a great pinch runner. He's Benny the Jet Rodriguez, apparently.
Miguel Delaney.
You know, I don't understand what you're going to do with Tyler Chatwood, because you can't send him to the minors. You're not going to, you know, eat that contract and all the rest of the time on it. So you're just going to have to keep throwing him out there every fifth day and hope that it gets better from start to start, even though there's really nothing to prove that it will. But there's nothing else you can do with the guy.
No, I never think Jed and Theo are done until they're not allowed to do anything more. But, you know, Mully, I didn't think about what you brought up. And now that you brought it up, you've got me a little bit upset, I guess would be the word. I want to go over this again. You're suggesting, because of Hamels, that Montgomery go back to the bullpen now or later?
Now.
Now. Okay. And I can't get on board with
well,
that.
Well, then who's rotation? Then who's,
well, you're going to you have at least one more set of games where you're going to have to go with a 6-man rotation. So that's just a fact, and I don't want that to be another one of those like Luke Farrell
right.
try to see if he can get through 3 innings and then tax the heck out of the bullpen the rest of the way. I don't want that.
So so after that, then what do you do? Do you honestly want? I mean, what are you going to do?
Do you want John Lester to be on a different schedule because you got to accommodate other guys?
Or
no,
do you think you could
accommodate John
Chatwood.
Lester.
Do you want Chatwood in the bullpen, Dustin? How would that work?
Oof.
No.
Hey,
I don't want Chatwood. No.
Yeah,
no.
we're in a high leverage situation.
Yeah.
Let's walk two guys.
I could live with Chatwood as that sixth starter as opposed to Farrell when they need him. And at that point, I guess he's mop up time. He's Eddie Butler.
They're 12-2. Is that the number? What is the number? Is it 10-2 in his starts?
That's crazy, but I mean,
it's insane.
Yeah,
some of the results are like yesterday,
yeah.
where you know lightning strikes and you know there's a little bit of magic involved.
Somebody gets hit with a bucket on their head.
Yes, crazy stuff happens.
No.
But they nonetheless have a good record when he starts.
Was a couple weeks ago, Len Casper said basically that you could break him down and start from scratch. In order to do that, you have to come up with an injury where you put him on the DL and he just goes away and gets treatment, quote unquote, and figures out if he can be a different pitcher, because you can't keep trotting him out there in any kind of situation and expect a different result. But the wins be damned. But.
And the fact is, Dustin, that guy's never going to get near the playoffs. I don't think he's getting on the playoff roster.
No.
So,
Chatwood?
Yeah.
My little pushback is about Mike Montgomery.
But that's what I'm saying.
The question is right
his
now.
His role in the playoffs is probably out of the bullpen.
But we have to see what happens with Hamels, right? I mean, like,
okay.
Is he good enough to be a postseason game 4 starter? Or would you rather have Mike Montgomery?
Or would you rather have Yu Darvish in that
role?
I know, but I'm just saying.
At this point, I don't want him in the postseason either.
But I think
I don't know what he's got.
But I think come September, you might feel differently.
Yeah, Cole Hamels has a much better shot of being a playoff starter than Mike Montgomery. Mike Montgomery is going to be in the bullpen, coming out of the bullpen in the playoffs. You know, that's just how it's going.
Listen, we're going to have to keep an eye on that one. That's now, you know, you talk about position battles with the Bears, right? That's something everybody likes to do. This might be a rotation battle. I'm not so sure. I can't.
You know,
usually I have
a strong opinion.
I don't have a strong opinion right now.
But the problem is that like the Bears, where the only position battles are whether a guy comes back from camp or a rookie can start on the offensive line, there are no real battles here in terms of who belongs in the rotation. When you talk about,
it's Lester, Hendricks, and Quintana, assuming that, you know, that Quintana and Hendricks are the guys you hope they're going to be, and then you go from there. It's a very good question.
Now, what do the Cubs do with their rotation? Are they expecting anything from Yu Darvish?
Well, this is back to our question. This is back to that answer, I suppose, right? We're saying that that when you get back to a five-man rotation, you're going to probably move Montgomery into the bullpen. And that's the role he'll probably play come playoff time. Again, you know, Cole Hamels has to be better than he's been. I get that. But aren't we imagining that that the old war horse is going to stand a little taller and run a little faster and be able to meet the moment a little bit? And, you know, again, we're operating under the assumption, and it is, you know, never assume anything. We're operating under the assumption that that Lester's going to continue to do what he does, that Hendrick's going to get better, that Q is going to continue to get better, and that you got Hamels as your fourth guy. I don't think you count on Yu Darvish, but he's sitting there. You know, Smiley is sitting there. I don't know that either guy will have anything to do with this season, but they're around and they're floating around the organization. And you, again, one more setback and forget it. But as of right now, there is a hope that he is on target to come back and do something. So I would say that, you know, you don't count on it, but in the best of all possible worlds, believe it or not, Dustin, you think that guy might come back and be a part of the rotation.
I don't think you can operate as if you're going to get anything from Darvish. You just can't right now. Is one little hiccup means pretty much September.
Right. He's on target.
No, one hiccup could mean the end of the season. So this move is made more to give you insurance against Darvish than is Chatwood. I mean, this is, you know, a former World Series MVP is not replacing Tyler Chatwood. It's, you know, hopefully you're catching some sort of lightning in a bottle here with Cole Hamels, and he's going to rejuvenated and ready to go, and out of Arlington, the numbers are unbelievable. And again, we heard that with Chatwood, so I don't want to buy it hook, line, and sinker just yet, but that's the hope. That's
his wife was on Survivor, Dustin.
Cole Hamels?
Dustin, Dustin was a big Survivor fan.
I was asking Dustin, when there was talk of Cole Hamels being traded from the Phillies and to the Cubs were interested all those years ago. And didn't he say something like he hates day games? And basically he told the Philly writers that, you know, he needed pretty much to, he was kind of a diva. He needed everything to be perfect and had like a whole list of things needed to be right for him to pitch in Philly even. But the whole thing was he's not coming here because he doesn't like pitching in day games.
I'm not sure he said that, but I would imagine he would be on Dustin's list of grievances if he did, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't he be with the...
Isn't on that list?
Yeah, I would love to put that into the Google machine. I do vaguely remember. I do vaguely remember what Brian's talking about there, and he did throw a no-no against the Cubs.
Yeah. His last appearance here, right, with the Phillies.
Right now, I'm not doing anything with this rotation because you don't have Darvish, and you need a six-man rotation. You're in a stretch of 21 games, 21 days, and looking ahead, August, September. They have a stretch of 23 straight days with games. They might need to stick to a six-man a couple of different times throughout the season or go to it here and there. It's going to be, like I mentioned to you guys the other day, it's going to be interesting to see if they do add a lefty because that will tell you what they plan on doing with Montgomery, even though at the end of the year he ends up in the bullpen. What's funny is if you're doing this based on performance, Montgomery's really not a conversation. He's in. He's in the rotation. But I have a feeling that that's not how it's going to end up. Expectation at this point, When was the last time we saw him? A few months ago? Darvish? I don't think you could expect anything, but they're not winning anything without him. They're not. They lead the league in number four starters right now. Okay, great. What are you going to win with that? They need Darvish. I don't think they're expecting anything, but they're not winning anything without him.
You know, Darvish and Cole Hamels are friends. They're, you know, former teammates with the Texas Rangers, and we saw how well that worked out when Chris Jimenez was brought in to coddle you, Darvish. So maybe this will have a similar effect.
Didn't they lose back-to-back playoff games at one point in their careers?
Oh. Sounds about right, yeah.
Well,
but,
yeah, that to look forward to.
I digress.
Was Hamels tipping his pitches too?
I do think for the time being, you know, this is really rough because do you go with the six man? You know, you guys brought up the point, you know, there are a lot of games coming in a hot and heavy fashion, so to speak, and there's not going to be much time off, and you're going to have a bullpen that's going to be very worn down, especially if these guys aren't going that deep into games, and you might be forced to use a six-man rotation and keep Montgomery in there. I'm not really sure what they're expecting from you, Darvish. This is, you know, one of the more enigmatic guys to have come into this city over the past few years. I mean, just personality-wise and performance-wise on the field, even when he was out there earlier in the season and ostensibly healthy, you didn't know what you were going to get from him. So I can't answer what they expect from you, Darvish. I don't even know if you, Darvish, knows what to expect from you, Darvish, at this point. Would I wager money on him being back at some point this season? Yes, actually. I do think he'll be back at some point. You know, we're only in July here. We still got a good chunk of the season left. Would he throw a couple dozen pitches in a bullpen or slash rehab, whatever the hell that was? Recently, so
16.
Okay,
he's got another. He got another one today. He has another one.
16 pitches.
He's got another one today. So
there we go. So after today, maybe that'll shed a little bit more light on the Darvish saga.
I mean, do I? No, of course I don't. But do they? I'm sure they've got their fingers and their toes crossed, right? That Darvish can come back, because here's, you know, part of that problem also is if Darvish isn't a big enough problem, it's also what we started the show talking about. It's Tyler Chatwalk. I mean, they spent a lot of money on Tyler Chatwalk, and they're getting nothing for it. And the move they made yesterday, I think, is as more to do with Tyler Chatwalk than it does with you, Darvish. It
sounds like a Star Wars character.
It's Chatwood. It's Chatwood.
No, it's Chatwalk. No, you watch the game. I know you watch the stuff.
His nickname is Walkie.
I heard
the stuff going on.
I heard on Les's show.
Cubs.
Les had a good one. I heard on Les's show did you hear that Tyler Chatwood and his wife, the newborn's already walking? Yeah.
Get it?
Mm-hmm. Think about that, the bizarro world that this question points to.
Who will make more of an impact for their new team, Cole Hamels or Joaquin Soria?
Joaquin Soria. As a Cubs fan, it better be Cole Hamels. And since you know the Sox did the disservice to the Cubs of putting Soria on the Brewers staff, it better not be Soria. But if I take a step back and look at this objectively, you got to bet on Soria, right? Because it's not get him out of this, and in that situation, he's better, and on the road, he's been pretty damn good no matter where he's pitching and who's he pitching against with a bad Sox team. So 16 of 19 saves, just over 2 ERA.
He's not coming in as a closer, though. He's got a different role.
I know he does have
an easier one, arguably.
Watch the Josh Hader stuff, because before the whole controversy over the social media stuff, he was having a couple of rough outings as well. So he wasn't automatic. He wasn't all-star Josh. So they bought themselves some insurance and bolstered their bullpen in a big way there. So I would bet on Soria, but here's hoping it's Cole Hamels.
Yeah, I think it's Soria is going into a nice role. He's moving from, you know, he'll, it's hard to say. I mean, do you have a lot of high leverage situations,
a lot of stressful innings
when you're closing for the White Sox this year? It's a tough thing to say, so maybe I should rethink that a little, but he is going to be used in different innings than the one he's used to, and that could make his life easier. But it is, again, a playoff race, and they are clearly have their sights maybe not even set on the division. Maybe they have their sights set on the wild card, which they lead currently. But I think that I think potentially that Cole Hamels could have that Verlander bounce. You know, that's what you're hoping for here. And, I know it's not something you can just pencil in, but that is the concept behind it. So if he can have that kind of a big bounce, then he would obviously be a bigger impact. But for the purpose of the question, I got to go with the reliever.
Let's say Darvish is healthy. I know that's a crazy thought at this point. If he's healthy and they're going into the playoffs, and Q and Hendricks are closer to what their career norms are, is Hamels even making a playoff start for this team? I think that that's certainly a possibility that he might not even be there for them in the postseason.
Sully likened it to Dan Heron, right? He came in, gave you the bounce of the season, and then... Ooh.
I mean, if he continues to pitch
and
to these
his
numbers
life on Twitter,
yeah, exactly.
He's hilarious on Twitter.
Yeah,
he's great on Twitter. The
rest of the way, if his ERA is just a little under five with the Cubs, he might not even be in the postseason.
Well, here's the thing, you know, again, the home and road splits: 23 home runs, second worst in Major League Baseball, but 16 of those were in Arlington. You know, so if you're going to give up the home run ball at Wrigley, that question is going to be answered very quickly.
Yeah,
you can't afford that.
Right, and if the wind's blowing out at Wrigley, that's a home run hitter's park, too. That's very similar to Arlington. I'll go with Soria. And quietly, what a run he's been on.
Yeah.
With a 0.74 ERA over his last 23 games. Probably looking at him as being their fourth best guy out of the bullpen. They lean heavily on the bullpen. They don't ask a ton out of their starters, so I'll say Soria will make a larger impact.
Yeah, it's definitely Soria. I mean, he's having a spectacular year out of the bullpen for the White Sox, and you know this whole thing that people are kind of clinging to now that maybe Cole Hamels will have a Justin Verlander type turnaround. He's less Justin Verlander being traded and more James Shields being traded from San Diego to the White Sox. This is not a Justin Verlander situation at all. Cole Hamels' decline over the past three seasons has been abrupt. It's been very clear to see.
Precipitous?
Precipitous, if you will. Thank you very much, Brian. And just look at him in the month of July, if you want to go to the immediate.
I don't want to go there.
You don't want me to say that he has an 11.12 ERA in the month of July? No, Justin Verlander is going to the Hall of Fame. He throws 100 miles an hour. He's never had as bad of a season as Cole Hamels is having this year or had last year, for that matter. Cub fans will remember the no-hitter, of course, from a few seasons ago, the great run he had with Philadelphia. Cole Hamels, great career. No Justin Verlander, and they certainly don't have the same fire left in their respective arms. This isn't Justin Verlander. This is more of a James Shields, Dan Heron type deal. This is just a guy, you know, a veteran to come in and eat innings and see what he has left. This isn't a rotation-changing move, a game-changing move in the NL race or anything like that. So hold your horses on Cole Hamels.
Yeah, I hate to do it, but Kevin's actually right on this one. Yep, there it is. Put that
another
one on
sign
your,
the apocalypse
put that one on your
is about us.
Belt there, Kevbo.
Listen, this is a great kind of baseball banter you could have had if you would have sat next to each other yesterday at the game.
Well, Kevin decided that his
enough in the 4 hours in the morning. Yeah,
dye his hair blacker than it already is.
What?
What? Still washing that cubby blue out.
Well, you have
finally paid off his bet.
You did dye your hair. We all know that, so don't start.
Listen, we all know that I'm the anti-metric guy, or I'm a 30% metric guy when you look at things. If you're a Cub fan and you're hoping to that Cole Hamels,
bring the potato chips.
It's not good. It's not good at all. All you can hope for is that this is a guy that has won World Series games. He's won NLCS games. He's been named the most valuable player in a World Series. Those are the things you have to cross your fingers and cross your toes, Cubs fans. That's what you got to do right now.
It's a great question, Brian, and, you know, I don't have an answer to it. I don't know that anyone has an answer to it.
At what point will Roquan Smith's contract holdout affect his ability to start the season opener?
Not for another couple weeks, but it will. I think he's going to come in because why not? Everyone else is in, right? Is he, what, There are two guys left.
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, which is totally different situation. So you would hope he'd be in by the weekend. I mean, it's going to affect his ability to start the preseason opener, right? You know, here's the other element of this. Danny Trevathan is out injured. He's still got that hamstring. So who's starting if not him, right? I mean, it's not – we're talking about when Trevathan comes back, is Kwiatkowski doing enough to hold on to the starting job to open the season? I think that I think this kid's going to be just fine. I think they just got to get him done, and hopefully it'll be over the weekend.
I know they'll never say this, but say this goes on for a couple weeks more, does it there ever become a punitive aspect to not throwing him out there for the opener, just saying he's not ready, even though he might be ready? We're, like you said, Molly, we're probably a couple weeks away from that. If he came in on tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, do you put him in the Hall of Fame game just because?
No.
And is that, even though you might want to get him up and running and get some tape on him and get him out there with his, you know, at some point do you say, you know, well, that was nice. Everyone's saying it's business and no big deal. But somewhere in the Bears front office, do they say, okay, well, you know, you put us through a little bit more hell than we needed to be. You're not just getting rolled out there on the season opener.
I hope not, because that would be, you know, you want your best players playing, and I think he's
and he needs
be.
Every rep possible, right? So I think we're a couple of weeks away from that, but the idea that he's just going to roll out there and have a Joey Bosa type year, you know, that diminishes with each day that he's not at Bourbonnais.
We're still 44 days away from the season opener. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put it at the end of camp. In the middle of August. So they're still going to treat the dress rehearsal with the Kansas City one with five games, right?
Right.
The second to last one.
Right.
And that's not until August 25th.
Penultimate.
So what's that?
Penultimate.
Next to last.
I'll go by the end of training camp. There's still, you know, a month and a half. Still plenty of time here.
I don't know if I'd go so far as to say a month and a half. I mean, if he's not in camp in a month and a half, I think that's when alarms start to go off a little bit. You know, this is...
I'm saying that's when the season starts.
Yeah. You know, I'm with you. But, you know, I'm already starting to not so much panic, but, you know, start to kind of wonder. Yeah, what's kind of the deal here? And
what changes? I mean, if they both have kind of dug in on their positions on either side, the team and the agents, what...
Time.
Yeah, but I mean,
see who blinks first. Yeah. You know, it's just a game of chicken at this point. And this is a guy.
It might be the kid.
This is a guy too, and a kid or a guy, a player, a man who is playing one of the most important positions on that defense. He's supposed to be the quarterback of the defense. That is so important to get in there and learn the playbook. This is his first year. You know, it's not exactly the most easy system.
Why are they
up.
Playing the game? At the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Because Brian Urlacher and Ray Lewis are going into the Hall of Fame.
What positions did they play?
It's supposed to be part of that tradition. I'm not saying he's going to be those guys or he's going to wind up in the Hall of Fame, but he is supposed to be in that tradition.
Who holds out when Raquan is inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Who's like, I'm going to have to check like the fourth grade rosters.
Jay Cutler Jr.
Yeah. Who's already committed to Alabama in fourth grade or Georgia.
I mean, Joe's right. I mean, we can all read a calendar. Okay. But that's like, that's the same. There's 162 of these. Let's worry later about baseball, right? I mean, it's just bad. It's just a bad optic. And I do blame.
You would punish him, wouldn't you? If he doesn't come in, you would hold him out for a game, wouldn't you?
There would be. He'd be running laps.
I'd have him running laps.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Bear crawl ladders.
But if he came in at the end of camp, you wouldn't start him.
No.
There would be a punitive aspect.
That's what I'm saying.
Not me, no.
Yeah.
Not one little
Coach Rhodes.
Jocks tight, socks tight.
And don't forget shirts in. Shirts in, jocks tight, socks tall. Shirts in, jocks tight, socks tall.
Socks tall. I always say socks tall. But I grew up on the South Side.
Not when you talk about Nick Madrigal.
Hey, MLB prospects came out.
We represent.
Their top 30, number four
Okay. We represent.
Number four, Nick Magical. He's already slotted in.
Dustin Rhodes, of all people, taking shots at Nick Magical.
I tower over Nick Magical.
Get out of here.
Lollipop Day at 35th and Shields. Wear your knickers.
Can I tell you, if you're looking for a great bargain, want to find cool collectibles, and need to get fresh fruit and vegetables for the family, come on down to Swap-O-Rama. Three great locations, 42nd and Ashland, right here in the city. Also check them out in Melrose Park and Alsip, with hundreds of indoor and outdoor vendors selling clothing, tools, electronics, much, much more. Have stuff for sale? Become a Swap-O-Rama vendor. Turn your hidden treasure into cash. Visit their website for market days, hours, vendor information. Go to swap-o-rama.com. Swap-O-Rama, the first name in flea markets.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. Mully and Hanley on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.